welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, my friend, and welcome back to the show. As always, I'm so happy you're here because today we are talking about our legacy mothers and loving them because they love us so much. And if you haven't already, go take the Mother Change Quiz. You can find it at motherchangequiz.com. If you're not a mother, you probably know one, so send it over to them because you'll learn all sorts of juicy goodies about kind of what happened to them when they got pregnant and when they became mothers and what that means for them today, for their purpose, their role in the world, what they struggle with, and how they'd like you to support them. Because today we're talking about the legacy mother. And of all the mother change types, our legacy mothers have maybe the yummiest energy of anyone because these are, I like to think of them as the earth mamas. Some of these women always knew they wanted to be moms, not all of them. Some of our legacy mothers have their kids and suddenly it's like they've stepped into their true purpose. And maybe it's a purpose they knew was waiting for them. In a lot of cases, it comes as a little bit of a surprise. I've seen power mothers, these, you know, successful corporate women who kind of are masters of doing it all, have their kids and suddenly they realize that that's actually the source of their deepest fulfillment. Legacy mothers are natural moms, and being with their kids really fulfills them at a deep level. I mean, it does for all mothers, but the difference for a legacy mother is that her children are actually where she'll find her greatest fulfillment. So if you take the Phoenix mother, for example, I mean, this mama adores her kids. How could she not when they completely upend her identity and change everything about her life and what matters to her? But when we look at a Phoenix mother, she actually won't be fulfilled until she finds what she considers to be sacred work in the world because her soul ends up calling her towards something that she probably can't even name. And so until she finds that and brings it to life, often through a business, not always, sometimes it's through philanthropy or her core career, she will always be seeking something until that moment. But what's special about legacy mothers is when they have their children, they step into their true purpose. They are finally embodied as the best version of themselves. So, you know, they love to snuggle with their kids. They want to be by their littles all the time, and they really have a sixth sense about what their children need. Now, you might be thinking, well, Rachel, I'm a Phoenix mother, and that applies to me. I get juiced up by snuggles, and I definitely have a sixth sense about what my kids need. But the difference with a legacy mother is that she is so innately called to her mothering that she actually has to work a little bit harder to maintain a sense of who she is for her because it's so second nature for her to show up for her kids. She actually, her soul, it's fulfilled by caring for others. And this is what makes her so special. So often we see legacy mothers, not just as stay-at-home moms, but sometimes they're clergy or community leaders. Sometimes they're healers or teachers or therapists. Often legacy mothers will find roles for themselves to do their work that allows them to care for others because it's what they're so, so good at. Now, here's the challenge about legacy moms is that, I mean, my gosh, we love them. These women, they have juicy, juicy energy. They're who we're all drawn to for a hug. If you're a legacy mom, you're probably like, oh, yep, yep. People always come to me for a hug. My kids always come to me when they're sad. But the thing about legacy mothers is they bring that energy to all of us without even realizing it. And in a lot of ways, we actually rely on our legacy mothers to keep us healthy, to keep us connected in our community, and to keep us whole. And the sad thing is that legacy mom is not always rewarded for this. A lot of the time, legacy mom feels like, you know, she doesn't have a flashy career. And she might. This is a generalization. And remember, everyone has a primary mother change type, and as well as a secondary. So some legacy moms are a legacy primary and a power secondary. But as a general rule, what's special about legacy mother is that she is nurturing and caring on a level that it's basic, it's foundational. When you look at, if you've ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's basically a nice little way to look at the things that we need first, without which we can't survive. And the first one, the bottom of the pyramid, is something like, it's like basic safety. It's food and shelter. Only after we have food and shelter can we start to care about things like fulfilling work or relationships. Legacy mom fills us up at a foundational, basic level. She does it in her mothering. She probably does it in her friendships. And if she works, she probably does it in her vocation as well, especially if she's a healer, or, you know, maybe she's a rabbi, maybe she's a therapist, maybe she's a kindergarten teacher. These are all real legacy mothers that I know, by the way. So she can take many forms. But the challenge is when we receive support around our basic needs, often because they're so basic, we don't necessarily show the level of gratitude that we should for it. I think about therapists. They give their energy all day to support people at a deep, deep, important level. But how often does a therapist get a thank you card? You know, we see the same thing in our educational system. We underpay our teachers. They care for our children all day while we're at work. I mean, they work on the weekends, and yet they don't receive a whole lot of appreciation, and our society isn't really structured to do that. So here we are, and we have these legacy mothers who are such a pivotal part of our community, of our society, and our family, and they're not always rewarded for it. Because let's be honest, you know, between the lunches that legacy mom is packing and the hugs that she's giving us and the counsel she's providing to her kids, to her friends, it drains her energetically, even though doing those kinds of support activities, they do fulfill her at a soul level. So legacy mom, you know, she has it tough because she kind of exists in this tension between what her soul wants her to do, which is, you know, embody herself in this role as mother, and not just mother to her kids, but whoever else she chooses to mother. And that fills her up at a soul level. But at the same time, it's also draining because she only has a limited amount of energy. So the truth about legacy mother and where we can really support her is that she needs time alone, and she needs time to recharge her batteries. And this isn't always easy for her, because often legacy mom, she feels such a calling to care for the people around her that she feels massive guilt taking that time alone. And even when she does get some time to herself, she often doesn't really feel restored at the end. You know, she has that soundtrack of her kids that's always running in her head, or her clients, or whatever her flavor is. But filling up the legacy mother's cup, it's not really a luxury for her, because people depend on her. I mean, that energetic drain is happening whether she's conscious of it or not. And we just can't afford to lose her, because in many ways, I really think of our legacy mothers as they're like shepherds of the community. They care for our human flock. And at the end of the day, they're the ones who really stand firm in their role to guard the generation that's coming. They are the guardians of our children. So often legacy mother, she's a room parent, or she organizes outings for the class, or she's involved in her community in another way because she's just naturally called there. And we need her to do that, because, you know, I don't know a lot of power mothers that feel called to be room parent. They have so much else that's going on that that's just not where her attention naturally turns. Now, again, this is a generalization because no one is 100% a certain mother change type. I mean, I've moved through all four types myself. I think, you know, last year I was more of a shadow mother primary, and now I'm kind of moving more into my phoenix stage, and I kind of bounce back and forth between the two depending on how recently I've lost a pregnancy. But I've been legacy mother as well. When I had my son Gideon, that legacy mother definitely came up for me and took the place of what I thought would be power mom. So just recognize that if you are a mother, you likely have some element of this within yourself, even if it's not your primary. But I'm also willing to bet that you know some legacy mothers who have that as their primary mother change type. And as you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, yes, my kid's teacher is absolutely a legacy mother. And you're so right. I want to give her a hug, even though it's COVID right now and I can't go give her a hug because she just has that yummy energy. I often think of my doula when I think of legacy mother, and she has that earth mother energy, and she's chosen a career of service. She supports other women. She mothers countless women and changes their lives. And she's often depleted because it's a hard path, the path of the legacy mother, even as it is so, so valuable. So I want to explore a technique that we can all use to support ourselves as moms, but particularly to support our legacy mothers. And I'll just talk a little bit about receiving. I'll probably do a different episode that's all about receiving practices. But in our society, we live in a very masculine society in terms of the paradigm that we use around work and communities. Now, go back several thousand years and we all lived in little towns. We were with other mothers. We all mothered one another. We shared childcare. Our society was set up differently. But the last few thousand years, we've moved to more of a masculine model. And now everyone has the masculine and the feminine within them. But when I say masculine, I mean more goal-oriented. We're more of a culture that focuses on doing and achievement and measurable achievement. Whereas the feminine model is really one of receiving. The feminine is that slower, more intuitive, receptive energy. But when you think about slowing down to receive, you know, taking an afternoon off just to restore yourself, well, for many of us, our gut reaction is, well, that's selfish. I can't do that. I need to be productive because that's how we measure our self-worth. But as women, and especially as mothers, our energy is like a cup. It's like a cup. So if you visualize a glass of water, it could be a quarter full, half full, 75% full. And that's kind of like your life force. So when you think about the legacy mother, or really any mother, if you are a legacy mother, ask yourself, how full is my cup today? And really tune in to hear the answer. I mean, the reality is most of us don't even slow down to ask. And that's the first challenge that we face, not just as mothers, but as women in society. But once you slow down to ask and you hear the answer, usually when I work with clients around this, they actually get kind of demoralized because they'll come back to me and they'll say, Rachel, my cup is like 25% full. Now, in Ayurveda, the teaching goes that if your life force level drops below 50% in that cup, you hit kind of a critical point. You're in the red zone. You need remedial action, or things like illness or depression can crop up. If you're between 50 to 75%, you need to fill that cup at least a little bit. And if you're above 75%, you're good to go. You can go do whatever you want. But the challenge is first tuning into that cup to discern, how urgently do I need care? And then for legacy mother, because this is what she really struggles with, really rewiring the narrative around receiving as something that's not selfish, but in fact is foundational. for all of us, but especially for her role, because if Legacy Mother's cup is emptied out, she can't support the rest of us, and we need her. I mean, society, it breaks down when we don't have Legacy Mother, because she's right there at that root level, at that base level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, we cannot discount how important she is. So, Legacy Mothers, or friends who know and love a Legacy Mother, because she loves us so much, let's show her a little love too. Step one is just to get her to tune into her cup. How full is her life force today? And then once she identifies that, and if she's like most Legacy Mothers that I know, it's probably on the lower side, helping her change the narrative around taking time to herself to recharge. It's not something that's selfish. It's something that is an absolute necessity. And when I work with clients, I teach them a variety of different receiving practices. We actually start to work on the structure of how she runs her life so that she can bake this in, so that her cup is never getting too low, so that she always knows how full her cup is, and so that she really has a complete toolkit around how to fill her cup. Because, you know, a lot of moms are like, okay, well, that's great, Rachel. I know my cup is low and I know I need to do something to fill it. But when I get alone time, I don't really feel restored once I have it. So how do you actually leverage that time so on the other side you feel good? Because as mothers, you have deep wisdom. You have magnitudes of brilliance. But when you're exhausted, it's really hard to leverage any of that. So when I take women through the Mother Change system, this is a really foundational piece that we work on. We have to get them feeling good. We have to get these mamas feeling fully resourced, because once they are, what they can do for themselves, for their families, and for society, I mean, the sky's really the limit. But not if she's exhausted. And I mean, chronic exhaustion, it's endemic today, because our society isn't really structured to prevent it. And part of our core curriculum is not how to find balance as a mom and how to restore yourself in the little time that you have. So that's part of my sacred work in the world, is really helping all mothers, Legacy Mothers included, get fully resourced, restructure their lives so that they do feel good all the time. So that when, you know, our Phoenix Mothers, our Shadow Mothers, or those that have a Phoenix secondary are ready to go start a business, are ready to bring their sacred work to life in whatever way feels right for them, they actually have the fuel for their fire and they can actually go out there and do it. Because, you know, and this is part of where the Mother Change system came from. You know, I was working with clients after starting the Uncorporate, and I noticed that over and over again, women would come to me and they would have ideas and visions and they'd be so excited to bring them to life, but life kept getting in the way. And the biggest blocker for a mother, especially a mother with young kids, let's say kids under the age of 5 or maybe under the age of 7, the biggest blocker for her, it's time and it's energy. You know, not everybody has that challenge. So what I was finding is that other business frameworks weren't working for these mothers. They actually needed to take their journey back to the basics. How do I actually get myself functioning so that I can go do this work in a way that suits me as a mother and my lifestyle? And this is just as important for Legacy Mother, because we need her. We depend on her. And we love her, because that's just who she is. So if you have a Legacy Mother, go give her a hug and say thank you. If you know one, send her this episode so that she can start getting what she needs to fill her cup. And if you're curious to know what your friends and relatives and colleagues are, share the Mother Change quiz. It's a 2-minute quiz, 9 questions, super quick. And they can find out whether they are a shadow, a phoenix, a legacy, or a power mother. And each mother change type comes with her own gifts, her own challenges, and her own tips and tricks for how to thrive as the new her. Or maybe it's not the new her. Maybe she's been a mother for a long time, but her gifts and challenges and you know, solutions still remain the same. So my love, if you're a legacy mother, thank you for being here. Thank you for caring for all of us, even when you're not recognized or rewarded for doing it. We need you. You are our shepherd, our guardian. And I'm so thankful you're here. So I'm sending you so much love, so many blessings, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you, and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love. So thanks for being here.